Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome evening, morning, afternoon, all of the above to the Thanks for Trying podcast. Back once again. Oh shit, I just kicked the table. It's like a rickety bench kind of aesthetic to it. With myself, Corin, your host, your friend, maybe. Enemy, perhaps. And it's episode 6 of season 4. Third week in a row. Who'd have thought it? I probably thought this podcast was dead, but so did you. But here we are. I'm very grateful to have wonderful people to chat to, and big love to my guest for today's episode, who is Misha Simpson, who you might know from The Witcher. And the new season of that, starring her, is out in June. So make sure you go watch the last season and then get up to date for her character. Bam for this one. So, big love to you for all the feedback and the love that you've been given for this podcast and for the new single. I got a new song out and it's called The Deli. I played it last episode, but make sure you go head on over to Spotify and all of those streaming services and you go put it on loop, you go have a little listen, you go bump out of your car, play it really loudly on your headphones when you're cycling, but only one ear. Make sure you're fucking cycling safe. And enjoy this wonderful episode with the incredibly talented Misha Simpson. What's the telephone?
Oh. I don't even know what my telephone voice is. My voice just changes sometimes when I feel like I'm in interview mode. If I'm just talking to someone that I don't know that well. It's really weird.
No, I feel like I need to hear this telephone voice now.
I think because I've already been around you, it's already established that there's no telephone voice.
Okay, all right. I'm just getting the levs. Oh, the levs seem look good. You know, I'm recording, so, you know.
It's already happening.
I don't even know what channel you're on. I think you're on channel 2. I'm sniffly today.
We do have to come quite close.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Sorry about that. I'm sniffly today as well.
We're both sniffly.
Can't stop.
We're here. I had three things to tell you from my journey. One, I got your Kinder Eggs. I've already given you that.
You're already in the winning zone.
A Kinder Egg was given, although it was a surprise Kinder Egg because when you opened it up, there was a moose.
There was like a little Lego man in it. Where has he gone? Oh, he's over. Here he is. I have no idea what he is. He's like a Lego robot.
Oh, he's cool.
He's excellent. Thank you.
What's his name?
His name is Silver.
Silver. Silver. No, that's
inventive.
A good name. I like that. It could be like Silver with an A, like a Portuguese Brazilian name.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, he's a footballer.
Yeah, he most definitely is.
Okay, that's perfect. To my second observation on my way here, that school kids are everywhere, and when you try and maneuver through the streets with a Z and there's school kids around, it's impossible to move. That children have no spatial awareness. That's just a fact.
No, literally,
they don't know what's going on.
And if you're an adult that has no spatial awareness, you're fucked, basically.
Oh my god, they're the worst.
Yeah.
There's certain types of people that I always know will never move out of the way when you know. say if you're walking down the street and there's, you know, like five people in a group, and you can just see this look in their face of like, I do not give a fuck.
You know they're not gonna move.
I don't give a shit about you. And yep. Sometimes I'll put on a limp, like a little fake, you know, maybe I've, hey guys, you don't understand, I broke my foot recently, okay? I should be walking on the pavement, not in the street, and they still don't move. It's a test.
No, but sometimes you have to stand your ground. I like to play games with these people sometimes. You can see them coming a mile off and they're like looking at you like, I'm not going to budge. Yeah. Then you've got to adopt the same thing and just see who chickens out at the last minute.
Oh, shit.
That's quite fun sometimes.
What happens?
I usually chicken out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, you're like, yeah, I just got out of jail because I stayed too long one time. And
I always chicken out. I'm like, oh, okay. No, they're about to walk through me. Okay. No, this doesn't work.
Oh, this is beefy. Okay. So then how do you do on trains when you're trying, you know, when you're trying to get off the train and, you know, people are getting, I've spoken about this on many episodes before. It's particularly a gripe of mine. When people are trying to get on and you're trying to get off.
Oh, God, that does really wind me up.
Yeah.
It really, really winds me up. But I hold the patience because I know, I feel like people that do that, I think they're scared that the train's just going to start moving. I think that's why half of them
with
are rude.
With the doors open.
Exactly. I think half of them are rude.
Yeah.
And then half of them are scared because I know when I first came to London, I didn't realize that the train driver would wait until everyone's on or off.
Right.
So I might've been one of those people. When I first moved, I might have just been jump on the train. I would never push anyone,
but I'd jump
straight on the train in fear that the train would go. Yeah. So I think, yeah. So I, you know,
maybe you're teaching me to have some empathy.
Yes, exactly. Know? So I empathize a little bit, but then man. You know, I just try and have patience.
I feel sorry for all those old people I barged. Well, that was my main observation today. There was a third one that will come back to me as I move through today. Mostly I've been rewatching 24, as I think I probably told you the other day.
Yeah.
So my whole life has absorbed into the personality of Jack Bauer, the lead counter-terrorist unit agent. So every time I'm in the street, I've got my hood up and I've like got my phone on the AirPod ready, pretending it's an earpiece. and I'm just thinking people are going to give me instructions of who to take out, you know?
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. I think if I watch a show for so long, especially if it's like a detective kind of show, or like there's a show that I was obsessed with called The Americans.
I've heard about
it's insane. It's on Amazon, and like they're like Russian spies who are now posing as this American family.
Yeah.
The things they do are crazy. But I watched it so much that I started believing that I was a spy as I was walking through the streets of London. Yeah, and like you really feel like you're like with them and you're on these missions. I know it sounds a bit crazy.
No, it doesn't at all. I was about to say, did you observe any?
Did you see any?
Did you solve any crimes?
Oh yeah, I definitely. I feel like I saw a few spies as well. You know.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Or other people watching the show at the same time.
Yeah.
They're all in it. Would you like to play a detective? As an actor.
I actually think, I don't know why I said oi like that, but I think. Actually, after watching Americans, since I was a kid, I've always been really obsessed with like spy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So like Spy Kids, I used to love that.
Yeah.
So actually, I would more want to go down like the spy route. I feel like they have more fun.
Detective espionage, spy, espionage. Rather than police detective.
Yeah, espionage, okay, cool. Spy.
But don't you just want to wear like a big long coat? And it's like a grey London day with drizzle, and then someone comes up to you and goes, "All right, Sarge." Does that not float your boat?
Yeah, I guess so.
That does it for me.
I think with the spies though, you get to like, it's the same with like acting as well. You get to be all these different characters, like you're like disguising yourself.
Right.
It's the disguises that
you're into.
It's the disguise. Yes, I like to disguise myself.
She's actually in disguise right now. you wouldn't know. It's quite scary. If you were going to... What would be your favourite disguise?
Oh, favourite disguise? Ew.
Yeah, what would you like to go undercover?
Undercover, a favourite disguise. Oh. I... Do you know what? I would love to be put in like full on prosthetics as like an old person.
Oh, shit.
And like have like a bodysuit on and like, you know, have like the Zimmer frame or like the walking stick. And
shit.
Just, I don't know why. It just seems like a lot of fun.
I mean, does sound fun.
Yeah. And then just do crazy shit and just see what happens.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I did that for my 30th birthday. Yeah, I did an old people's party. Everyone had to dress like old people, and I had like the suspenders, not the sexy ones, the old people ones. and I might have had those underneath, guys, don't judge. And then I had like a grey beard, like I've done, you know, dyed my
That's beard, so gray, good.
Glasses, a little peaked cap, yeah, and a walking stick. And it was a great party. Everyone
that
had to be
so
old.
Good. Did anyone do any prosthetic-y type?
Yeah, a lot of people went in. Yeah, like crazy in. Yeah. And it was such a strange party. I mean, a brilliant party.
I bet that was brilliant. I bet you got the best videos as well. Just
you
on
know
the
what?
Dance
it
floor.
Was. Yeah, it was. Because it was a little while ago. Sorry for me being snotty everywhere. This is. I'm doing my best. I might grab a tissue from you at some stage.
I can grab you a tissue.
Oh my god! Oh, what might, full you, service?
You might get like shy with the nose blowing and all that. Okay.
Well, you all right, yeah, I'll take a tissue whenever you
I'll
have
get
it.
Shy
we were trying to learn lines we were having a discussion as I was lucky enough to meet you about how when people are blowing their nose I like to do them the courtesy of like looking away. Because as Misha was you were blowing your nose and I was like I'm
was
not
really
gonna
going
look
for it.
You were really going for it, you're doing a great job, and I was like I'm not gonna look at you because I don't want people to look at me when I'm blowing my nose because it's such an intimate moment,
it really
you know
is.
And it's so I just wouldn't want you to, I wouldn't want you to see what I'm doing when that's happening.
No,
it's like mutually assured destruction.
And I fully appreciate that. I don't think anyone's ever done that for me before. Well, I really, really appreciated it. Because I get no shy. I hate it when you feel like people are watching. You try and do it really quickly, and then you do it quickly, and it just gets really messy.
Oh man.
Sexy stuff.
Sexy stuff. So obviously it would be crazy to not mention The Witcher. So you are in essentially disguise.
I am
in The Witcher. So tell me about the prosthetics there, because that's obviously you mentioned prosthetics in terms of disguising. But yeah, tell me about the process.
I am in literal disguise because like I didn't realize it myself because obviously I've seen the whole process and I'm like, oh, it's just me in a wig and all that stuff. But I remember showing a picture to my cousin. There was like it was me and like the group of elves, and she was like, "Where are you?" And I was like, "I'm there." She was like, "Where?" I'm like, "There." She was like, "No way! That hat? What?" So that's interesting. I'm wearing I've got like a long golden, like I guess like a red kind of wig, very long. The only prosthetics that I'm wearing are the ears, the pointy ears.
Did you enjoy having the ears?
Oh, do you know what? They can feel a bit weird sometimes. If they're positioned like a little bit like awkwardly, the tip of your ear seems to fold into them and it's like the weirdest feeling. Yeah.
I'd hate that.
For like 12, 13 hours.
No.
It's just like, oh.
But does your does it stay in the same... Does your ear go back to form afterwards?
It literally
afterwards?
Goes through me. It does in the end, yeah, eventually.
Okay, good. You don't sit with a crooked ear for like a couple of weeks.
Maybe, I don't know, possibly. But what I do find is loads of glue on my ear for like weeks afterwards. Literally, like 2 weeks later, I remember I was doing like Comic-Con, like talking to people on stage, and like I got this habit of like picking my ears after I've had prosthetics on, and I was like, I found one. I've got one now. Like, I was doing that at dinner with my mum. My mum was like, Misha, stop it. We're at like a Michelin star restaurant. She was like, stop picking your ears. I was like, I can't help it. It feels so good. I'm like picking it out and flicking it everywhere.
At what point does it become wax? Like, at what point is it?
I know. You know, it gets a bit confusing.
I mean, that's okay. It's fine. Okay, so wait. So I want to talk to you about that, but also Comic-Con. You got to talk to me about Comic-Con.
Yeah. Comic-Con's really interesting. I think what I love about it is actually seeing all the costumes, the effort that people go to.
Yeah.
Because I mean, they're making those. I don't know how long it takes them to make their costumes, but they make them themselves. They're not going into the shops and hiring them. And like, you know, the things that you see, they're like better than what you see in like fancy dress shops and stuff.
Yeah.
So like that's really amazing. Also like weird, like strange for me as well. Like having, I mean, you know, I come out of drama school like 2019 and then I go on this huge show and all of a sudden I'm in this convention where people will like got pictures of me printed out and they want you to sign it and that, you know, they want to hug you
those?
Like it's literally there's like pictures from me from when I was as a model online. I'm like, where did you even find that picture? So yeah, like it's just mad to think you're like, whoa, like people actually like you, you know, or like they like your character and all of that. So yeah, it's really interesting.
How many signatures did you have to work through before you knew what you were going to sign?
Oh my God, I am quite, I can't believe I did this. I probably shouldn't even say this, but.
We could, by the way, you have power of the edit, so this goes to you first, if there's anything you say.
This is great. But like, so I, because I'm an amateur.
Okay, right.
I have my thing, my signature that mm-hmm, I do. Mm-hmm. So I was doing that, my signature that I just do, you know? Yeah. And then I told someone that I was doing just my signature. They were like, Misha, what you mean your signature that you sign things with? Like, that, you know, like that's on like all of your documents. No. I was like, yeah. They were like, you shouldn't do that. Like, you know, it's fraud. No. A thing called fraud. I was like, shit. Yeah, you're right. I just didn't think.
That explains why when I was trying to, deets Brad Pitt's card using his signature, why it didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck. Exactly. But I think like that, my signature, I think I remember doing this with my uncle when I was a kid. My uncle's 2 years older than me. I know it sounds strange, but he is.
Cool.
So like we were kids together and we were like practicing our like our autographs for when we were going to be famous, right. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
So yeah, so like that's where I got it from, and I just remember that, and I've kept it all this time.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, I finally get to use it.
So have you changed your signature for documents now, right?
Yeah.
So you just do it the reverse way around.
I've changed it now.
Okay, good.
There was just one Comic-Con. I'm not going to tell anyone which one it was, but there was one when I did it, but I've changed it now. So
great. And just in case, just so they know what to look out for and avoid, what's your full bank number for the of your card?
Oh, that's 26. Oh shit, you've got me now.
So wait, did you do the San Diego Comic-Con?
I didn't do that one. I've done one in the UK, London. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I did a couple in Germany. But I'm yet to love to get invited to one of those.
Oh, you will. It's a matter of time.
Yeah.
I snuck into the San Diego one.
Did you?
Yeah, I snuck into that. It was incredible because meeting a guy dressed like Thanos and like meeting all these incredibly designed people. Sure, I'm getting good words.
You're not
today.
Even opening up your drink.
Yeah, I haven't even opened one. That's a good point. I like the crackle.
All over my face.
I'm so glad I've met you before. I don't feel as embarrassed.
That's well embarrassing. But it's not. It's okay. Don't worry. It happens all the time.
Thanks. Oh god, it's so embarrassing. Okay, so Comic-Con. Yeah, you're gonna go to Comic-Con. It's a matter of time. And I'll be there stealing your pass so I can come
in
again.
Exactly. Yeah, you can disguise as me.
Oh my god, yes. Yeah. The elf ears, right?
Yeah.
Cool. So you only exclusively play elves? Is that your role?
In life. In life, yeah. I was born an elf. Yes, whoa. I was born to be an elf.
Ah, okay. Yes. That makes more sense. Yeah, okay, great. So tell me more about that prosthetics. We're just, as you know, from chatting to me, I am a living tangent. So when you are in the prosthetics, how many hours is it taking to put all of that on? Because you got the eyes as well, right?
Yeah. So like, I think like the whole process is about, I think like 3.5 hours, which actually I think is not, it sounds like a lot, but it's actually not that bad. Like I just think days when I used to do like fashion shoots and stuff, I'd be, you know, it takes around that like two hours anyway. So it's not that bad. So it's not bad. And then the contact lenses, like those usually go in like very last minute when I'm on set, just because they're like, It's weird, especially when you're in the dark. It's really blurry. It's really jarring actually, because it's hard to read facial expressions because it's so blurry, and especially in the dark. Yeah. And obviously with acting, like a lot of you're reacting off of what someone's giving you.
Of course.
So a lot of it is like a guessing game where you've got to use your ears a little bit more because you can't really see a lot. So I'm only allowed to keep those in for like, I think, 4 hours at a time, and then I've got to take them out for a break. Because they can get a bit uncomfortable, and like especially if you're doing like a 14-hour day.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah. Just thought, should I shut the door? Can you
totally
hear
up to you. It's good Foley.
Is it all right? I don't mind. I'm just thinking about like your when you're editing. You got kids in the background. Like.
I can hear kids in the background probably blocking the walkways as we speak. No, it's okay. You know what? If anyone at home's bothered, there's other podcasts to listen to. So
that's true. That's all right. Let the kids play.
They can have a good
Let
time.
Let them play.
You know, I'm afraid of contact lenses, so I don't know how you did it. There's something about anyone getting near touching my eye.
Yeah.
Do you put them in yourself?
No, they don't. I guess I could put it in myself. They have specialists that are on set that do it for you. But sometimes you get used to one person and then they might change and you're like, oh my God, it's another person. What am I going to do?
And what if they haven't cleaned their fingernails?
Yeah, exactly. Filth.
Oh God.
No, they're very clean and like they're very down with the sanitization. Sometimes people put it in differently. You get used to one way. I don't like having them being put in. Once they're in, like, I think now, because there was a few scenes that we shot season three where there was a lot of, like, dust being flown around and there was wind and it was really, like, it wasn't okay. I was getting a lot of stuff in my eyes. So I had to take them out for that. And then what I noticed, because I'm so used to having the contact lenses in as Francesca now, when I don't have them in, it's almost like I don't feel like Francesca. It's right, so strange.
Yeah.
It's like, it just feels weird.
Well, that's it's a conformity thing.
Yeah.
There's a psychological thing where, like, it's when you put if you're a police officer and you put the uniform on, you act completely differently. Like the Stanford prison experiment, you know, when they got people in to wear the prison guard's uniform and all of a sudden they became brutal and mean and abusive. But there's something to that, even in terms of what you put on your costume and you're wearing those lenses and all of a sudden you are that character.
It does something to you. Yeah, definitely. It's like the, I guess, like if anything, or even when you're like learning like a character, there's certain triggers that you can like put in that, you know, like, I don't know, do a certain thing or like, yeah, like you put on a certain item or whatever. It just automatically like sends you to that place of where you want to be. It's interesting.
Do you stay like kind of in character-ish between takes?
I think for, I'm not really the type of person that can like, it. Like if it's like heavy scenes, I have to kind of put my mood in that like lower level. Mm-hmm. It's weird. Like I can interact with people and all of that, but but like if I'm having mounds of fun on set with everyone else, like they all do, sometimes I'm left out because I'm like having a hard scene that I've got to do. Like I kind of have to put myself like in that kind of zone so I can go there easier. But I'm not that, I won't like be on character, like in character talking on voice and like standing like
like Lady Gaga saying she spoke in that accent for like a year or something. I'm like,
yeah,
I mean, I kind of get it. I got a mate of mine that when he was doing an American accent on the show, I had a new song out and I was like, yo, check my new song, I feel like it's up your street. And he was like, bro, I want to hear it, but I can't hear any English accents for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I need to just be in the zone. I need to make sure that I'm doing my American accent properly. And if I hear you say one word in English, then I'm just going to lose it. I'm going to lose it.
No, I do. I get that. Cause I went to LA last year, partly cause I wanted to just go away somewhere different. But like a part of that was to be surrounded by the accent and like, not like, you know, just let it just soak in without like doing like, you know, being like fully on it. And I think by the end of the trip when I was doing the accent, it was so easy to do, like the resonance and where it sits. And then I come back to the UK like cut like a month or two later and I'm doing it and I'm like, hey, where's that sound gone that I developed? I honestly developed such a cool sound that I've never heard before and now it's gone.
It's in there somewhere.
It's there, but like I get it because you're surrounded by it. And like it's something about like you can almost feel where the sound's coming from when you're around it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I get confused by like trying to do French accents when there's certain, like I will never try, even though my granddad had the strongest French accent, being obviously Tunisian, colonized by the French.
Yeah.
But there were certain noises that French people do just talking that I don't understand how they do it.
Is it?
It's
the,
coming
like,
from a different.
I can't.
I'm like, what? It's cool as fuck, man. I want to
know. I love it.
So tell me about the modeling side of things, because in all of our conversations, I haven't even actually asked you at all, and you mentioned it a couple times. But you came from the modeling first before the acting side of things.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did a show called Britain's Next Top Model.
What?
Yeah. This is very, very long time ago. Yeah. I was 19 years old. Do not go to YouTube and look for it.
I mean, that sounds...
there's a part of me. No,
sounds like that's what I'm going to do.
Oh my God, like it makes me cringe. Like, because I, like, obviously I'm proud of my achievements and stuff, but like When I did that, I was 19 years old, yeah. Very young, 19-year-old, sheltered and all of that stuff. And then like, so like, I loved it. It was great. And like, maybe I wouldn't be in London if it wasn't for that. But when I watched the show back, like, it's that whole thing, you know, like most people don't like watching themselves or they don't like hearing their voice.
Yeah.
So I had both. I had my voice and I had to watch myself. I just cringed the whole time. I was like, is that, oh my God, that's me.
Yeah.
And like, obviously being that young as well, I feel like I was a little bit traumatized by it.
Yeah, of course. And at that age, we are like, we hold ourselves differently because we're growing up and we don't afford that same kindness to, you know, I know obviously they're very, very rich, but like your Biebers and your, you know, yeah. Selena Gomez, whoever it is in the spotlight, who have been in the spotlight since they were 15, 16, but we didn't really know how to hold ourselves because we were just young and that's okay.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So that is okay. Yeah. But like it is that thing, you know, like talking about that trigger stuff again. You're like, oh my God, trigger. Oh. I'm proud of it. But at the same time, I'm like, when people are like, oh, I'm going to YouTube it. I'm like, no. Oh. Do it, but it's out there. Bless. And now I've just told everyone and you. Exactly. And this is what happens.
Bleep it out. Bleep, top of bleep.
This is what happened.
Oh, bless you. Well, and then so that traversed your 20s, then I take it, then the modelling.
Yeah, so like I moved up to London from Plymouth, like because I won the show. Which was amazing. What? Yeah.
Buried the lead there, man. That was like, that should have been the opening sentence. Actually won Britain's Next Top Model.
I am the winner.
Don't worry about it. It's fine. It's small event. It doesn't matter.
You know, don't worry about it.
That's sick. I'm here with an actual champion. Gold medalist in modeling.
Going red.
Shit. Oh, bless you,
yeah.
You gotta hype it up. So go on. All right, so you became the best at a very young age. We all know this. So you became the best, and at that point, you were stood at the top of the mountain of success.
Yeah,
looking over the minions below and saying, well, I guess I've won. What should I conquer next?
Yeah. I guess so. What is next? It was amazing. I moved to London and I was making all these friends. Mm-hmm. I was discovering so much about myself. Yeah. You know, like I've come out of the shelter. Mm. So like for me, it was like, God, it was a good few years of, you know, like working with like amazing people, meeting amazing people. There's a lot of parties, going out a lot, like, you know, and just living life. And yeah, it was a really amazing experience. Obviously, there's highs and lows, like, you know, like just because I know a lot of people would think they come up to me and think I was like loaded because I actually took up work in like a restaurant or bars and stuff like that. I think a couple of years later, because, you know, the money wasn't sustainable, especially being in London. So you would get people being like, oh, why are you working here? Like they'd recognize you and all of that. And you'd be like, well, you know, like I've got to make money and all that. So yeah, there were times I was like, you know, lows and you weren't working and you're sleeping on friends' couches and all of that. And then there were like really good times where you're like, oh my God, I'm rich. Let me buy everyone a drink. Let me get your taxi. Don't worry, I got you. Yeah. and then in the mix of that, there was like loads of travel. Like I got to go to Cape Town, which was like one of my favorite places. You know, I worked there for a month with an agency. I went to New York. I did Milan, like all of those things.
Like fashion weeks and stuff like that.
Not necessarily fashion week, actually. I wasn't really like a fashion week model. Yeah. I was more commercial.
Fashion week just looks stressful to me. I don't.
I've done the castings. Yeah. There's one casting that we would do where there's probably about 15, 20 designers in one room. And it's so scary. Like you walk in, you're with like girls that are fashion week models and they know what they're doing. And you're having to go down the line of the tables of the designers and they look like sometimes they barely even look at you.
What?
And like they like you give them your card and then you've got to walk for them and you're like walking and they're not even looking at you at that point either. And then you go on to the next one. It's like it's a huge cattle call.
What?
It's really good for your self-esteem. If you want, you know, if you want to boost it, just go there.
I hate the sound of this. This just sounds awful for humanity.
It really is. But I mean that wasn't really my I don't feel like that was my area of expertise. But you know, it was all experiences.
Of course.
But yeah, it's a mad world. Yeah. It is a mad world.
I'm guessing you've seen Triangle of Sadness.
I haven't. No, I haven't seen it. Oh,
you need to
watch it.
Okay, well, then I won't say anything. I won't say any more, but yeah. I feel like it might be a triggering film, but also one that you'll enjoy in the end. So, and then you arrived at the acting, you know, later on. I only started acting a couple of years ago. But so what made you turn to that and go, actually, fuck this. This is what I want to do.
I've always had that in, like, I've always been interested in acting. I mean, even since I was a kid, I remember, you know, begging my mum to, like, I just wanted to go to drama school. You know those schools where it is just like you learn a curriculum, but you get to do drama. But she was like, no, you need to finish school properly. So like I would do like the Saturday school things. And like I did that a little bit, but I think because I was quite young and like maybe quite shy, like I kind of gave it up a little bit at that time. But then being in London, being around that kind of, you know, there were certain people in my circle that were acting and all of that. And it kept on sparking the interest of like the hunger of like wanting to do it, but not knowing how. And then eventually, just started going and doing workshops and stuff like that. I mean, I did like a short course at Central and I thought maybe I can get an agent after that. And like, you know, I can just be on the screen. But I was like, then I realized how much work it was. Yeah. Like, it's, you know, I was like, at the time there were people actually auditioning for three years at drama school. So that's what made me go off and do like the 3 years, because I was like, actually, you know, I want to be taken seriously and I want to learn. So that's why I went off, and then I actually like really went into it and did 3 years.
And did that being in school for it help you in the auditioning? Like, do you feel like it's prepared you in the auditioning process? Because as someone, I haven't actually auditioned for anything yet, and the whole idea sounds like you were saying about the modeling, walking in front of a bunch of motherfuckers, they ain't even looking at you. And I'm like, I don't want to do this. This is going to make me feel awful about myself.
Yeah.
And I'd end up like lifting up tables and just be like, look at me. Look at me.
The Hulk comes out.
Yeah, exactly. Did it prepare you for... Because, you know, with anyone, even the biggest motherfuckers, there's rejection. So when I say rejection, it's not, you know, not a slight. It's just that's the way it is. And also within our industry, I get rejected for shit all the time, and I get accepted for stuff too. And it's part and parcel of it. But did it prepare you for those ups and downs?
Yeah. I honestly think that my career as a model prepared me for that more so. Because, like, it's the same thing. Like, you know, before it all went digital, I would do, like, 7 castings a day. Like, you're literally walking from like all the way around London. Like, it would take you all day, and like you'd go like that for weeks and like maybe not book anything or maybe book something. There was so much rejection with that, and that was all down to your looks as well. So it's like it was so pretty mean. Pretty savage. So I think that helped me develop a tough skin. So I knew going into acting, I knew it's one of those industries again where it's like, it's not like, you know, nothing's guaranteed, and the majority of the things like you're probably not gonna get. So I was already prepared for that, and I'd already lived that kind of life of, you know, living hand to mouth. But I think what drama school did was, like, I mean, I still get really nervous when I'm in a room doing an audition, but it kind of desensitizes you to it in a way of getting used to having someone judging your skill. Now people are judging my skill and watching me, and like, you know, hearing your voice out loud in a room and all of that stuff. That's how it prepared me, I think. So the two match together. I think they've gone hand in hand.
If you're going into something and you come out of the, so you do an audition, you come out of the room and you feel like that's gone amazingly well, you know, does it happen that you get that role, or can you go into a room and go, oh, I fucked it, and then get that role? Like, is there any correlation between the way you feel and the way that it's been perceived and the stuff that you get?
They're most definitely. There was one job where a lot of it has been like tapes and stuff since COVID.
Of course.
Yeah. So like there was one job where I was just like, I don't even, like, it would have been such an amazing role, but I was like, I just can't, like, the accent is just not sitting well, and like I just don't think I'm the character and all of this. And my partner at the time was like, no, like, he was like pushing me to do it. And then, like, I sent it off, and I was already annoyed that I sent it off, because I was like, oh, it's just crap. Like, why? And then I got a call back.
Sick.
So that was really interesting. But then obviously there's been other times where I feel like I've smashed it,
yeah,
and like not got it. But the thing is sometimes, yeah, like you can smash it, but there might be someone else that steps into the room or the audition tape and they are that character to the writer. As soon as they see them, they're like, yeah, that's, you are that.
Yeah. And it's out of your hands.
You got to get used to not like getting approval from people and be able to approve yourself and like in your skill. Cause yeah, you could be sending good things off all the time, but just cause you don't get it doesn't mean that you're not good.
Of course. When I'm pitching music for adverts is the worst place to pitch music for because it's, you know, ad agencies have no fucking clue what they want. You know, they just don't. And a lot of art directors, they don't know either. They know nothing. They might know amazingly well about the way things look and they're fucking talented, but in terms of sound and the conversation between the two, and I don't give a shit if whoever hears that, because it's true.
Yeah,
they might want something in music and then you give them exactly that. They might, hey, so we kind of want like grime but meets classical but meets like polka music but also with like a hint of Stormzy but a hint of Fiona Apple but a hint of like, and you're like, what
that
is
sounds
it
sounds like a mental breakdown.
Like, what do you want from me? So you go, okay, so let me take like this refrain that sounds a bit like Fiona Apple but with like, I'll get some live strings and then, you know, maybe I'll do like a 4-bar verse like Stormzy. Then you put it all together somehow and you give them exactly what they want and you still somehow go, hey man, this bangs. You send it to them and go, actually no, the director just wanted like Mozart, so they just cleared that instead. And it's, you're like, what?
Awful, isn't it? You literally sell your soul. How did your soul?
That's it. So yeah, it's so I feel like that will prepare me.
Yeah,
having dealt with these motherfuckers for so many years, they end up just giving it to like their cousin or something like that.
Yeah, there is
also
that
something that happens.
It's mad, like the amount of times that I've gone. It's amazing that, you know, I'm able to get these opportunities, but the amount of times I've been, I've had auditions for like really really cool projects that I'm like, please, I really want to do it, and like, you know, you put your heart and soul into it, of course, and then like you don't hear anything back. Nothing. And then like maybe a year later you see like the people that have got cast in it is announced and it's someone like huge and like you know, someone with a name, and you're like, oh man. Like, did I even have a chance?
And it's kind of like, on one hand I'm you know, now I'm older, I'm like, peace and love to everyone, man, like all good, it wasn't meant to be, that's okay. On the other hand, I'm just disappointed, you know. Just sad.
You can't like, help it, it's like human nature, isn't it?
Yeah,
one of the best things that someone has ever told me that I do use as a mantra sometimes is what's meant for you will never pass you by. Because when I am feeling a bit like, oh, like I really wanted that or I didn't get it or whatever, I remember that, and I think that's true. Like, you know, something that you're meant to get will come for you at some point.
It's gonna come for you, son.
It will. You've just gotta keep like, just keep at it, keep at your hard work, just keep your energy up. I think
that's nice, man.
I
like that.
It's a good mantra. It helps me.
That's a really, and we have to remind ourselves of that every single day, and like I'm super grateful to be in a position I'm in, working, being creative and everything like that. But that rejection definitely, I mean, we were saying before we started recording about energies and protecting your energies, and that is a particular thing that knocks my energy down, and it stops the creative process happening, you know.
It's mad how it affects you, like, because, you know, like we were saying earlier, sometimes like you might be feeling a certain way or feeling down or whatever and you don't know why or what it is. Especially when things have been going really well as well, you're like, it's really confusing. But when you're in that kind of state, it's a creativity killer. It's really hard. So it's like, I guess it's important to try and find those things that like kind of lift you out. Like when you know that you're getting to that point.
Yeah. What are yours?
What do I do? Honestly, my thing is like, I'll do like a gym workout or something, anything to like kind of raise my energy levels, but also I might do some meditation, or I might do yoga is like a good thing for me, or like breath work, anything that's kind of like spiritual and connecting to yourself, because like to help you turn the noise down and like really like kind of listen in again. Yeah, anything like that. But sometimes when you're feeling that shit, like you can't even do that sometimes. No. So you've just got to like not be hard on yourself and give yourself a day of, if you want to lay in your bed all day, just do that and do nothing. Yeah. Start the day again the next day.
Yeah. Tomorrow. Tomorrow we go.
To mañana.
So yeah, that's it. Or like I always say to people, just keep the machine oiled. On those days, keep the machine oiled. Get some nice food. Treat yourself to something really nice. Get some truffle oil. Do something really good to yourself. Make your bed. Do your washing.
Yeah, yeah. Just one thing. Even if one just thing. One thing.
Just one thing. That's it. Like
I agree.
I always cook, but I know cooking isn't for everyone. But like, you know, cooking something on a day when I feel like I've got no beans in my soul. I've got no energy beans left. I feel like I talk about beans on every podcast, but you know, they're great.
Yeah.
But yeah, like when I'm feeling like absolutely I've got nothing to give, I just cook something.
Yeah.
Because at least then I've created something. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And there's so many things I want to create every single day. I want to write a screenplay. I want to write a song. I want to produce, you know, produce some music, whatever. And then some days you just can't do any of that. You just can't. You physically can't. You know.
You're just like a log laying there in your bed. That's me sometimes. I'm just like, I've been staring at the ceiling for about 5 hours now. I must move. I must move. Mayday.
That's your internal voice's accent as well. I've been staring at the ceiling for like 5 hours now.
Send help.
It's a great internal voice.
Keeps well,
that should be that should be your narration of your life.
It is, yeah, maybe, yeah.
When I was shooting The Witcher and I was had these funny ears on.
That is my internal voice, literally. It's doing it right now, you know.
Oh god. So did you get to keep the ears? Sorry, I'm going back to this. I don't have a fetish or anything. I just I like logical talk. I like to know, like, you know, about the ears.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I actually did try and take I was like, oh, amazing, I want to keep the ears, like my first pair of ears. But when they take them off, they're the weirdest thing. Yeah. They take it off with like alcohol, really wet solution.
Right.
And once it's off, because basically when they put the ears on, they're like they're like a certain color, but then they've got to like flick loads of, you know, like makeup on it to make it match with your skin tone. Yeah, so like, so when they're taken off and they're using the alcohol, a lot of that color washes off, and then when they put it on the table in front of you, when it's off, it literally looks like a bit of bitten raw chicken with a bit of point. Nice. It's really weird. Nice. It looks disgusting.
So how did it taste?
Yeah, well, disgusting.
Disgusting. Okay, come on, just check. Just asking for a friend.
Yeah.
Just asking for a friend. Whoa.
I haven't got a fetish. How
it
tastes.
Yeah, that's it. No fetish here for fake ears.
Just want to know
all.
How they taste.
Just, it's a simple question.
Yeah, they're weird looking, but I think before they go on, that I need to take one of those because they look like, it looks like cat ears. They look really cute. So before I need to take them before they go on, basically.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. They should just give you they should just give you some, just in general, to have.
I think I could, like, forget by the end of the day. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
I
just get me
sleep.
Home.
Yeah.
Get me home. I was, you know what I had for lunch today?
Yeah.
Packet of microwave rice. With some corn chicken and some steamed broccoli.
I actually quite like microwave rice sometimes.
It's actually,
it's not bad,
it's actually
all
right, yeah.
Was it the Uncle Ben's?
No, it was own brand 38p Lidl.
Nice.
Yeah, Basmati. But I tell you what though, here's a little hot and spicy take. You know how they tell you, the Illuminati.
Yeah.
You know, they try and get it in our heads that rice, reheated rice is dangerous and it'll kill us.
Oh, because the bacteria. And all that. Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah,
why are we eating
so
packeted rice that we microwave?
I've never thought about that.
Right?
Yeah.
Someone's lying to us, man.
Like, apparently you can't even store it in the fridge because it's like, you'll be sick the next day. I do it all the time. I'm not sick.
No.
But that's true. How are they going to sit on the shelves for like how long?
It's not even refrigerated.
Yeah.
I'm pissed.
Surely, like, it's not even vacuum sealed. There's air in that bag.
Yeah, we got to take it to the streets, man. We got a protest. I got a right to somebody's MP.
Yeah.
This is fucked, man. Here we go. I'm pissed. I'm angry. I'm sorry. Oh, God. Yeah. So, no, I've stolen a lot of catering in my time. A lot of catering. All those events, you went to many of those parties too back in the day, which are catered. You know, they have the canapes.
I'm that person that stands by the kitchen.
You have
to. But pretends they're not.
And yeah, then,
yeah, because you know you've got to look cool.
You have
like
to
you go
cool.
to these events all the time. So
always stand by the
there's
kitchen.
There's a way you do it, but stand by the kitchen.
And you always make friends with one of the waiters.
Yeah,
and you just go, hey man, just come here.
Yeah,
and he's like, yeah, man. And like, look, all right, look, me and you, we're gonna have an arrangement this evening, okay? Like, soon. It's like, these are the things that I like. All right. I can't have the wheat based stuff. So take that. You give them to someone else. You give them to your mate. I don't care. You circle them around. Anything potato based, bring right to me. They've got mini chip cones.
Yeah.
Bring them right to me. If they've got deviled eggs, like, you kick your coworker out in the face, out of the way, and you're bringing the tray directly to me. And they're like, oh, what do I get in return? Nothing.
I was going to say, do you slip them a 20? No,
absolutely nothing. No, but to be honest, on a real one, like, if you, you know, knowing lots of pals in catering or doing those jobs, and, like, you know, I've done jobs that are similar, whether it been, you know, in a bar or whatever, they just want to get rid of the food as possible so that they can finish as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of doing them a favor.
Yeah, you are. They love people like us.
They love it.
But I do find, though, I feel like whenever I go to those events, I feel like most people, the majority of people that, actually, I've got quite a lot of food friends now, but if you're not with foodie friends, you, like, notice people at the events, they always seem a bit too, like, oh, no, I don't want to eat it. Like, the canapé will come and they don't take it. Yeah. I feel like that happens so many times. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, this is the best food ever. Like, how could you not take anything? And then I always, like, the greedy person in me, like, is like, all right, okay, I'm going to have to hide the greediness and do it in, like, a crafty kind of way and eat it quickly so that I stay in with the cool crowd.
Like a seagull.
You know? Yes.
Goggling it down in one go.
Yeah. Quickly.
Like a seagull. Yeah, no, me too, exactly. I've done lots of DJ sets where they're catering and then they bring, my favorite is, like, honey mustard sausage, like mini sausages. That's probably my top of the list.
Interesting.
I think. Yeah. Top of the list at any canapé. If you're bringing those around.
God, you're not a hard customer to please, are you?
So, like, simple.
Give him some sausages.
Just, like, that's all I want.
Some honey on it.
Oh, damn. My God. Honey glazed sausage. Honey mustard glazed. How are those not the best food you've ever tasted? It's so good.
That is so funny.
I was DJing somewhere, I think, actually, it's been a few occasions, and someone, they come around there on little sticks, bam, and then the whole DJ booth is like a pile of the sticks. There's no hiding them, you know, so you just have to own it.
No
one in here is going to have more sticks than me. Like, no one's going to eat as many sausages as me. I have to have at least 100.
Well, now you've admitted to it, everyone's going to know now. You could have hidden it.
What's your favorite canapé then?
I know, I was waiting for that question. Sorry. God. I don't know. Like, I like everything. But I'm just thinking, like, anything with truffle, obsessed with truffle.
Me too, man.
Yeah, like, maybe like a bit of a creamy risotto. Definitely like steak if it's done really well.
In a canapé.
Yeah, like a ribeye steak or something chopped up. I have no idea, but I don't think that's ever happened to me, but, like, I'm just
this is not something that's naming meals at this point. You're like, no, this needs to be small.
Right, small.
I've had steak been brought around.
I swear I have. Yeah,
definitely. And risotto.
Yeah, the risotto one. Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. But actually, burgers. Like, but the only thing is like, it's just not easy to eat, is it? And, like, you know, guarantee you're going to eat one of those burgers. The minute you stick it in your mouth, someone's going to come and talk to you.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's all over your fingers. It's in your mouth. It's just
the,
like,
sauce on your lovely dress. Like,
yeah. You're looking glamorous and, like, you've got burger breath. And it's just,
oh, my God, no. No one wants that. A small, like, a quail's egg would be good, you know? Like, with, like, just like a half quail's deviled egg. Quick one go. Your breath ain't going to be too bad after.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably the best. I'm trying to think what the best for you. And, you know, you're there in a lovely dress. You're there undercover as a spy. Who knows? Yeah. You know, you're in disguise. You don't want to blow your cover.
Just need something quick and fast. Just like a...
Like a honey mustard sausage.
I see your point now. I get it.
That's what we want, okay? We want honey mustard sausages.
Oh,
man. God damn.
Were you a cheese and pineapple kind of guy? You know, when you were a kid, like, and you go to, like,
stick.
That's what those honey sausages remind me of. Like, when you were going to the parties that you were a kid, it's like cheese and pineapple, and you got the little cocktail sausages and all of that.
I love that.
Yeah.
Everything tastes better on a cocktail stick. But isn't a cocktail stick a toothpick by any other name?
It actually is. It is, isn't it?
What makes the difference?
I have no idea.
What point do you graduate from being a cocktail stick to being a toothpick? Maybe it's the other way around. Yeah.
But I guess you eat the sausage and then you use the stick for the pick.
Yeah, interesting.
It's actually quite clever when you think about it.
Whoa. It just shows that we can be anything we want to be, you know?
You know?
You know, one day a cocktail stick, one day a toothpick, one day a thing that you put in your Nando's burger to tell you that it's vegan.
Exactly.
Or mild.
It's amazing what you can do with a stick, isn't it?
It's true. great. So look, we've recorded a wonderful podcast. Is there anything you want to talk about before we wrap? Like, is there anything that is on your mind? You know, any burning topics?
Anything on my mind?
That's a big question.
Oh, I don't know. Is there any burning topics?
Mm. I mean, and I'll cut out all of the silence, so you can have as long as you want. You can and ah for 3 hours, and I'll chop it up like
I
you
feel
just
the pressure.
Thought of it. That should have eased the pressure.
Burning topics.
You know, lots of things annoy me, and then I just go, oh, you know what I need to talk about?
Yeah.
That. You know what I mean?
Stuff that annoys you.
You could do that. Things that made you really happy.
I mean, we spoke about, like, I know, like, when you came in and talk about, like, the energy. We did that.
You can talk about that again. You can talk about that more. Has this, yeah. So, you know, just to recap, your energy, you just headbutted yourself. That's fine. With the mic. We all do it.
Just had one class.
I've had one class, okay?
That's all I've had.
You've had too many. You've got to go on. Yeah, so you're talking about your energy. I won't say, you know, I won't go into details, but your energy was a bit lower due to your experiences recently. And do you feel your energy has been risen?
Yes.
Good.
It really has. It really, really has. I've definitely, like, the last few days have been in, like, a weird place energetically when it feels quite low. And just that, this is what it is. Like, it just shows how much, like, people's energies can affect you. Like, you know, just having this conversation with you, and it's like, it's back and forth. It's a two-way street. And it's like, you know, it's really nice. It can really elevate you. So it has. So thank you.
Good. You're very welcome.
It has put me in a very good place. But yeah, I guess it's as I'm getting older, I'm starting to, I'm starting to notice how different energies, different places or whatever can affect you, and like how long they can actually affect you for, and like how important it is to surround yourself around, like, you know, people that lift you, and how important it is to listen to that tiny intuition, like voice or whatever it is, of like, okay, maybe I can't put my finger down on why I don't feel right around this person, but there is something that's not going, you know, there's something that doesn't feel right. I don't know why. I feel bad a few days later. So being aware of that and knowing that, because it really can, like, you know, we were talking about how it affects your creativity. Yeah. It can affect a lot of things. So, like, I feel like I'm in this place now in life where I'm really, like, opening myself up to that and noticing. I think when you're younger, especially in your 20s, like, you just accept things. You want to be accepted. You know, you want to be around people and all that. And, like, you kind of, like, throw that away. As I'm getting into my 30s,
I'm so young.
I am really, 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 really young. But like now, like, yeah, I'm just realizing, like, life is so short. So, you know, if anything kind of makes you feel low energetically, don't be around it.
Surround yourself with, like, people that encourage and challenge in a good way, but boost you no matter what you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got to have our own backs in terms of that. And yet, on the flippy dippy, also know that, you know, we don't have to hold hate for people that don't support us, you know, and that's
that most definitely.
That's the thing I've been trying to crack a lot in recent past couple of years, you know. I would hold on to so much anger and hate and, like, fucking just want to push people off a cliff. You know, I used to just imagine how I would murder people, you know? I used to just think about it all day long.
Imagine if you weren't.
Yeah. Right? Like, no, but it would be the thing, and, you know, jokes aside, anger would be the thing that would get me out of bed in the morning. If I couldn't get out of bed, and, you know, I've written songs about it now, but, you know, and I used to think it was a superpower. Oh, you know, if I'm angry, it keeps me alive and it keeps me going and it keeps me being creative. Then I realized, no, it's actually holding me back. It was a protection mechanism. It's a shell, you know?
Yeah.
I could hide behind being super angry at these people, and that defined me. Mm. But I don't want to be defined by how much I'd hate someone or how much I feel like they've done me wrong. And by letting go of all of that, I've got all of this space to then create and do something else. Yeah. And so the energy that I'm, you know, putting I'm not even putting any energy towards them. They don't exist to me. And that's way better. It's like to wish everybody well and we just exist in different dimensions.
Exactly.
That's all we just exist in our own little world and that's fine. You can do your thing. I don't even know you're out there. You don't even know I'm out there. And that's
okay.
I agree.
Because it's like drinking your own poison because someone may have affected you in a certain way and maybe they know they did that purposely or maybe they did it unconsciously that then like you're like subconsciously, then like you're then carrying it with you for like days or weeks or whatever. And like that person's not even around you. And like, so you're literally drinking your own poison by like letting them affect you. Yeah. So yeah, no, I think it's definitely good to like let that go. And like you said, it creates space then. Like, you know, you think that creates something holding on to those things, but actually once you let those go, like there's so much more that can come in.
100%.
Like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And if there's, you know, and if they choose one day to serve me honey glazed chipolatas, then the beef will be over.
Exactly.
Immediately.
Exactly. No need for beef.
There's no need for beef.
I'm all about lifting everyone and like, be, you know, like supporting everyone. Like there is enough out there for everyone.
Yeah. Well, we've had some wine now. I've got them on my second pre-mixed gin, which is a quid. But yeah, your housemate's going to be home in a sec. So we'll use this perfect opportunity to wrap.
Yes.
To wrap things up. But thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you.
Being amazing, acting alongside me, drinking coffee with me at my new favorite new favorite place.
The place. I had a meal at and I like it was so delicious. I cried that place.
That's so good. I need to eat there. I just drunk coffee there.
Good.
But yeah, no, thank you very much. And
thank you.
All right, a pleasure.
Thank you.
What a lovely roller coaster on a sunny London afternoon. Big, big thank you to Misha Simpson. You can see her in The Witcher, lots of other wonderful things. She was an absolute gem to talk to. And big love to yourself. Hopefully another episode coming very soon. The instrumental you are hearing right now is for a song of mine called One Way Ticket. And it is also out now. I feel like I say the word now far too often. Go and stream that at your leisure. Eat something nice. Cook yourself a lovely meal. Cook somebody else a lovely meal. Make your cat a really special dinner with a little sprinkling of grated cheese on top. Happy May to everyone. Oh, I'm struggling here. I'm tired. Hopefully catch you very soon for another adventure. Peace.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.